joy of the Lord fills our hearts and fills this place as we prepare to worship the living God. God is good, and all the time. We greet you this morning. We happily, joyfully greet especially all of our students who are with us and teachers. And this is a special day in the life of our church where we pause to recognize the great adventure that's about to start up, or for some has already begun, as school is now in session. And we're going to have a moment later on in the service to pray for and to honor both our students who are here with us today, to pray over their backpacks and to leave those backpacks with a blessing, as well as our teachers and those who are working in education fields of all kinds, those who are administrators and secretaries and anyone who has anything to do with educating others. Today is your day, and we want to pause to especially recognize and celebrate with you. I also want to rejoice in what took place yesterday. We have been talking some time now about a vision process and seeking not just our individual preferences or our individual ideas about programs and everything else, but really looking for God's vision for our church. And so yesterday, about 42 of us gathered, and I want to ask if you're here today and were there yesterday, would you please just stand so we can see who you are? And I just want to applaud you because from 9 to 2, you hung in there. Thank you for that. You may be seated. But a lot of good discussion yesterday, but that was just the start. That was just the beginning of a journey that will take us through most of the rest of this church year as we continue to work through this process, seeking to understand what it is that God has in store for us and why has God placed us here as a church in Elon, North Carolina. As we continue to worship today, would you open your heart to the Spirit as the Spirit speaks to you through scripture, through readings, through music, through word, and through silence.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, reading verses 7 through 10. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Let us now go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you are the God of all creation. Our chief goal this day is to glorify you and to enjoy your presence with us, not just this day, but forever. Our deep delight is in your presence. Our fondest thoughts are of you. Our strongest longing is for your house, being here in this time of worship. Help us to become who you have meant us to be, a community that breathes thankfulness, voicing your praise in all that we do, through song, through scripture reading, through prayer, and through our thoughts. We lift this prayer in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you are able, please stand and join us in singing our hymn of praise, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." The words are on the screen behind us. Please stand.
Is there You may be seated. Now we'd like for all the students, preschool, regular school, high school, college, and teachers, please come forward. Up to the altar area, please. Bring your book bags or book backpacks or book sacks, whatever you want to call them. They're called, in Alabama, they're called book sacks. Up here, they're called backpacks or book bags. Or it's amazing what they're called different everywhere you go. I don't know. They're weird. Okay, and you'll see on the screen we have a responsive reading. I will read the regular print, and y'all read the bold print. Oh, holy God, it's time has come when school begins. As these children begin their studies, we ask the blessing on their backpacks, in which they carry the books and the notebooks, markers and pens and pencils they will use to learn. Bless, oh God, all who will teach our children in the coming days and weeks and months. Give them the wisdom to find inspiration for each child. Give them the energy, the creativity, and the love that will make their work a blessing to our children. Bless, O God, all the school administrators that they may be faithful stewards of the resources entrusted in their care. Make them fair and merciful and do their critical work, spirit of grace and compassion. Bless, O God, each one gathered here that we will seek every opportunity to grow in our knowledge and of love for you. In our church, our school classes, our youth, and our children's ministries. Grant that we may see you more clearly, love you more dearly, follow you more nearly. And bless, O God, these our cherished children, those who we have promised to love and nurture. Keep them safe, keep them excited, keep them ever seeking to learn more, to develop their grit. Grant that through their study, they may gain the tools to grow in love and faith and service in all their days. Bless, O God, these backpacks and the children who carry them. O Lord of life, O Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.
The start of the school year is something that impacts not just our own body of believers here at First Baptist Elon, but it impacts our entire community. As I was driving to church this morning, I saw hundreds and hundreds of Elon students gathered on the front lawn there near the Danley Center for orientation sessions, and it has begun. And for many students, that is a, oh no, it has begun. And for many parents, it's, oh yes, it finally has begun. And for teachers, it's, all right, I'm ready. It's time to begin. So this morning, on behalf of First Baptist Elon, I want to have a prayer for our students and our teachers and the impact it has on our community. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, it is a time of change that is taking place these past couple weeks and into this next week as families prepare to send their children back to school, their teenagers back to school, dropping their college students off so they can begin their semester. Teachers are busily preparing their classrooms to make a significant impact upon the students that will enter their walls. The preparation has been going on for weeks and weeks, and now that first day of school has begun. Father God, we know how much of an influence and impact that you have on our lives individually, and we know how much of an impact you are going to have on our students this year. I lift each student up. May they know as they enter the classroom that they do not go alone, that they take you with them. May they know when there is always a friend, a loving God, who is there to support them in the good times and the bad. When those times of stress comes, Father, you are there. When those times of frustration comes, Father, you are there. And when those times of successes come, you are there. Father God, I lift up our students. I lift up those that will impact our students, the families that will help them with homework in the evenings, those family members that will usher them to school activities, whether it be in the morning, the afternoon, or the evening, even the weekend. Father God, I lift up each family that they may feel your presence, that they know that you are there with them every step of the way. And Father, I lift up all our school administrators, those teachers, those secretaries, those resource officers, those counselors, all those that will have a significant impact upon our students this year. Father, they carry a great burden with them as they go to school, as they seek to educate, to plant those seeds of wisdom that will grow for not just this year, but many years to come. Father, I just ask that you allow our teachers to have the time of preparation that they need, the patience that they need in the classroom, their desire to impact every student from the first and to the last. And Father, we know that is what you are going to do. Father God, I lift up our teachers as they seek to prepare that next generation for the impact they're going to have for many years to come. They carry your love and your grace with them as they enter those classrooms. Father God, it is a time for our church, not just this day, but every day, to pray for our students and our teachers and our schools that continue to educate and to teach love and grace. Father God, I lift this day up to you, these students, these teachers, and this time of year. We place it in your hands. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Before you go back, students and teachers, before you go back, we have a gift on behalf of First Baptist Elon. The children's team and the worship team has placed these together. Do you know the colors? You explain.
Teachers there, children there, and little kids, if you'll get yours and sit on the pew.
For children's sermon.
For children's.
Okay.
Time.
On the pew. You'd rather do that than you don't have to face the comment. Well, good morning.
You can stay, Kathy.
All right. Now, this is kind of hard to hold this and this.
So I'm going to talk about this. I hope y'all can hear me. I have two bottles of water. They look the same, don't they? What's different, Sonny?
What's different? What's different, Asher? Anything different? Noah? All right, what's different about it? Can you describe what's different? That has more water, okay. Anything different, Luke? No? Wes, anything different? Looks the same, kind of like Christians. We all look the same, don't we? Let y'all see over here, choir. Christians kind of look the same when we go to school. We all kind of look the same, or we go to Walmart. Everybody looks the same, don't they? But when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you look a little bit different. And we're going to taste this first. So I got cups for everybody. Give everybody a cup. Here, Wesley, give everybody a cup. I'm going to put you to work. He's unmoved up now. We're going to put him to work. So we're going to taste this water and see if it tastes the same. All right, just a little bit. It's brand new, hadn't been opened. I just opened it. All right, taste it. See what it tastes like. See if it tastes like water. All right, give it a shot. You want to try it, Paige? sexy, he said. All right, so that's, everybody agree that's water? Yeah, just like a regular person, that's water. Now let's try this water. Ah, this one's doing something different in it. It looks like water, doesn't it? It says water. It says smart water. Hey, it's going to make you smarter for tomorrow. That one says smart water, too. Right. My daughter Lauren drinks smart water all the time, but she didn't get any smarter. She says, oh, it's going to make me smart, but it didn't work. Just try to swallow it, Liz. If you don't like it, you don't have to drink it. And Noah said it looks like Sprite.
Sparkling water.
All right, what's the difference? Y'all should see Wes. This is making the awfulest face up here. Does it taste different? Sunny's making, well, she's making an awful face. All right, what's the difference, Sunny? Nothing. She's, what's it taste like, Luke? It's got a different taste, doesn't it? Wes, what was different about
it? It tasted bitter.
Bitter? And you notice when I opened it, it did what? What did it do when I opened it? It fizzed, didn't it? So what made that thing fizz? That regular water didn't fizz when I opened it. It had something in it. What was it? What soda has in it? Starts with a C. Carbonation. So this is actually called sparkling water. It's called sparkling water. It looks just like this one, doesn't it? So when you become a Christian and you accept Jesus in your life, you become more like this because you sparkle. You love Christ. Oh, you're just bubbling over about Jesus. So when you go to school tomorrow and there might be a new kid in your class that just moved to Burlington or Elon or Altima Hall, how you pronounce that, wherever you go to school. They might need some supplies or they might be lonely, don't have any friends. You show the love of Christ to them and be a friend to them and show them how good of a Christian you are and love on them and help them out and be a friend to them. Show them that you love God and that you go to church and you're a good person. Okay? Let's pray. Ready? Father, we want to sparkle for you. We want others to know us by your love. We want to bubble over when we see someone in need or sense a chance to share Jesus with others. Help us to sparkle now that we are new Christians in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Hope you have a wonderful school day. Our auditory hymn this morning is hymn number 8.
A mighty fortress is our God.
Our God, noble of name. May we pray. God, you are a mighty fortress, great and wonderful. Thank you for sending your Son to save us. We now return a small portion to be used for your kingdom. Bless this gift and the giver. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
I invite you to hear again the word of the Lord from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, beginning in verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Let us pray. Lord, every day you set before us life and death, blessings and curses. And though it seems like the choice would be so simple and so obvious, all too often we take the wrong turn. We trod the wrong path. We find ourselves left hurting and broken and indeed empty, O God. We are the designers of our own worst circumstances. And what's worse, God, is we often turn the finger towards you and say, "Where are you? Why did you let this happen to me?" We know deep in our hearts these are just false accusations. We are to blame. But you're a God who does not quit on us, who does not give up on us, who does not walk away from us. You're the God who pursues us and continues to call us, come home, come home, come home. Oh God, we give you thanks for the depths of your love, for your unfailing faithfulness, for your unending pursuit of us. Help us, Lord, to stop, to turn around, to walk your way, and to choose life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The special this morning, Janie and Becky are going to play is a duet called Let There Be Peace on Earth.
And you know he was speaking for the Lord every time he says, "Thus says the Lord," or "Hear now the words of the Lord." And he was speaking to a people who were literalists. They believed that by race they were God's children, children of Abraham. And that by that very birthright they were better than everyone else, and that they were entitled to God's blessing and God's favor. They believed they had this great temple, this beautiful church, and because they physically went there and made sacrifices and sang psalms, that they were okay with the Lord, that they were right with Yahweh. They believed that because their king was David's descendant, that it doesn't really matter what they do in life and what their nation chooses to do or not do, that they were at a higher plane. You could transpose that on just about any nation at any point in history. It's the "we are better because" scenario. And Jeremiah wants to get the people to see it's not about a throne, it's not about a temple, and it's not about your birthright. It's about a relationship with this living God. Just like long ago Moses said to the people, that God is saying, "I've put before you life and death. What was life to you?" He said, "Life is love God. And if you love God, will that not naturally create a change in your behavior? You cannot think the way you did before you knew and loved God. You cannot act the way you did before you knew and loved God." And so here's how Jeremiah puts it in Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did our ancestors find in me that they went far from me and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves?" I don't know if you've ever had someone call you worthless, but it's a pretty stinging indictment, isn't it? This is a very serious and angry God speaking in this passage when he says, "You went after worthless things, things that have no meaning, things that have no real value." What were Israel going after? More money, more power, more prestige, more influence, more stability. We are told that they were worshiping Baal, the Canaanite god. They were forming idols to him. But that's not really what Jeremiah is talking about here. He's talking about what is the end result of their worship. When you worship Baal, you're worshiping the god of excess, the god of increase, the god of more, more, more. And Canaanite worship taught people that you do whatever you have to do: lie, cheat, steal, exploit, abuse, whatever, as long as you come out with more. God says, this is worthless. And if you have that mindset, that Baal-worshipping mindset, you are worthless. He goes on to say, they did not say, "Where is the Lord?" Right away, the indictment is about relationship. They were not looking for God. They were not thinking about God. They were not focused on God. He says, they did not say, "Where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in the land of deserts and pits, in the land of drought and deep darkness, in the land that no one passes through, where no one lives? I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and good things." The first mistake, as we just said, was they were not looking for God and thinking about God. The second mistake they make is they were not remembering all the good that God has in store for them. They were not remembering what God had done for them in the past. They were not remembering how he was there for them. And so here's the result. He says, "But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, "Where is the Lord?" Those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. There is this progression here. He's saying the people who were supposed to be leading you and teaching you have led you astray. And you have fallen victim to comfortable doctrines that make you feel all safe and warm and cozy and proud. But it won't benefit you. I love how the English translators try to preserve something of the Hebrew here when it says the prophets prophesied and went after things that do not profit. The prophets went after things that do not profit. The actual Hebrew pronunciation for Baal is Baal. And the word for prophets, things that you want to earn, is Ya'al. So in the Hebrew, it quite cleverly says, you prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not Ya'al. Therefore, once more, I accuse you, says the Lord. I accuse your children's children. Cross the coast of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there was ever been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not Ya'al, something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, says the Lord. And here comes the punchline. Here is the kicker. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. It's quite a contrast between a fountain of living water and a cracked cistern. Just consider what a cistern is. We don't rely on cisterns very often, but I knew somebody who used to have a cistern that fed their water supply for their house, and it was so unpredictable and unreliable, they finally did away with it. For one thing, you cannot count on there being water. What is it dependent on? It's dependent on rain. Is it going to rain or not? I don't know. It's like this little German lady that I asked, what's the weather going to be like today? She goes, I don't know. Stick your head out. I don't know. Is it going to rain or not? How undependable. And yet every day we put our faith and our trust in things that are just unreliable. Do we not? Not only is it undependable if there's going to be water in the first place, even if it does rain, God said the cistern is cracked and holds no water. That even what is being put in there is just going right back out. It's kind of like a Coke on a hot day. You drink it because you're thirsty, but did you know all that sugar and all that junk that's in there, what is it going to leave you with? It's going to leave you being even more thirsty. It'll dehydrate you, in fact. And so it is with all this stuff that we fill our lives with. They just leave us thirstier and thirstier and thirstier. But God is living water. God is a fountain of living water. A fountain never stops. They don't call it Old Faithful for no reason, do they? You can count on it. It's always going to be providing perpetual water, water that's clear and clean and constant and cool and refreshing. It's a beautiful contrast and so powerfully true. You know, I could name things that we put our faith in that are cracked and unreliable, but you can provide your own list, I have no doubt. Things that we encounter every single day. We often, if we're single, we think if we just find the right mate. If we're married, we say if we can just have the right house or more children or children at all. We fail to see that though those things may be valuable and good, they are not what completes us. God completes you. When we are students, we always think, if I can just finish this grade, when I finally get to the sixth, when I finally get to the eighth, when I finally get out of this place, when I finally get to the college of my dreams, when I finally get out of this place, when I finally get the right job, when I finally get out of this place. Do you see the cycle never stops? Because that's not what's going to fulfill us. It's the same way with the stuff in our lives. I have come to the realization, and we've talked about this, and I've heard many of you echo, we live in an age of a secret addiction to technology. Oh, I just got to have that new gadget. I just got to have the right tool, and then I will be able to do my job the right way, or then I'll be able to have connections. As I heard someone recently say, we live in an age where we are more connected than ever. All across the globe, we can at any moment reach out and touch someone. I can be sitting in Switzerland, get on my phone, and through Google, call my wife in North Carolina. We are more connected than ever, yet more disconnected than ever. Our freedom of connection has actually disconnected us from one another. It is a cracked cistern. Our old philosophies and beliefs and traditions that we cling to, and we say, this is what I've always heard, or what I've always been taught, or what I've always believed. This is the way my mama raised me. And yet we find, even in the face of something powerfully true, we cannot let go of a cracked idea, because we are putting our faith in just tradition. Likewise, innovation for the sake of innovation can be equally cracked, can it not? Can equally be an empty vessel. Everything's got to be new. The newest idea, the newest worship style, the newest thought, the newest theology, the newest belief, the newest Bible translation. And there may be good in any of that, but if it's what we're putting our faith in, it's just a cracked cistern. What is it that God wants from us? God is not condemning all of these things. It's not that there's a verse that I can find that tells me iPhones are from the devil, although I've heard people say that. My mama used to say, and this will date me, guy. My mom used to say, that Atari is from the devil. It's not that God is saying that necessarily. What God is saying is that the evil is this, that we're not in relationship with Him. We spent yesterday talking a lot about visions and dreams and ideas, but it even occurs to us that it doesn't really matter how good our programs are, or our policies are, or our staff may be, if we're not in relationship with God. Later in Jeremiah reminds them of what their sin really is, and he says to them that they're believing in deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, Jeremiah 7:4. We think sometimes that just because we're an American or a Southerner, or we go to church or we have a church, that we're safe. He says that we go out and commit ourselves to all this oppression and all of this greed and all this materialism, and we go after other gods. And he says in that same chapter, in the 10th verse, then we come into this house called by his name and say, I'm safe. I'm saved. Hallelujah. Only to go on doing all these abominations, only to go on trusting in a cracked cistern. As you approach this new year, I don't know if you're a student or a teacher or an administrator or a parent or a banker or a builder or a truck driver or a farmer or retired. I don't know if you're single or married or divorced or widowed or none of the above. But I do know every day we're going to face life and death. And we can choose to be empty, or we can rejoice in the reality that God will fill us up no matter what happens to us, no matter what hateful things are said about us, that no matter what's going on in the news, no matter what kind of awful things the kids are doing on the playground, no matter what, God will fill us up. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Would you pray with me? Oh God, you fill us. You complete us. You give us life. Help us not to forget it. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Would you respond to God's word today as you have heard it and as the Spirit has spoken to you? If you are able, please stand as we sing our hymn of response.